We know that Mary kept the things that were told unto her very private, and she pondered them in her heart. Other characters in the Christmas story had much different reactions to the instances and the incidences of the Christmas season. We have been for 2 weeks now talking about the radiance of God, the light. We see it in the candles, we see it in the stars, we see it in the twinkly lights, we see it all over the place during this time of year. People use light and things to represent the beauty of the holiday season because lights are part of Christmas, are they not? We find ourselves fascinated. We go on social media and we say, hey, can anybody tell me where we can go and see the lights? We like the lights of the holiday season. Well, from a spiritual aspect, we have based this series on Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, because we learn in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that the sun, this baby that came at Christmas time, is the radiance of God. Not some reflection, but the actual presence, the God with us. And this baby who is God with us, this radiance, this sun who is the radiance of God's glory, is the exact representation of God's being. And so it is important for us to look at why this radiance component is so important. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the star that led the wise men to where they were supposed to be. And the star that they followed, the radiant light that they followed, led them to a shimmering hope of a new king and the hope that that new king brought. Last week, we talked about the illuminating comfort that Christ child offers through the presence of the Holy Spirit. When those of us around us, and maybe we ourselves, really are just having a hard time having the joyful Christmas season, it is the illuminating comfort of the Holy Spirit that keeps us from having a blue, blue Christmas. And today, I want to use a rather archaic word, though it's sad that it's archaic because it's a magnificent word. I want to talk about God's resplendent glory. And we're going to talk about it in the context of the announcement that came to the shepherds. Resplendent is a beautiful word. It means brilliantly attractive. It means impressively rich and colorful and sumptuous. And I believe with all of my heart that this is what the shepherds saw when the light shined upon them. This radiance, this light of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. If you have your text, find Luke chapter 2. Will be in verse 8. If not, the words will be on the screen for you. This is a very familiar part of the Christmas story. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For to you, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among mankind with whom He is pleased." And when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds begin saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." For they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the babe as he was lying in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went away, back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. This resplendent glory that came and grabbed the shepherds' attention is the same resplendent glory that fell from God on Mount Sinai when He gave Moses and the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. This resplendent glory of God is the same glory that filled the tabernacle as His children wandered for 40 years in the desert, waiting for a time when they could inhabit the land of milk and honey. This resplendent glory is the glory that filled Solomon's temple as the praises of God circulated through the rafters 24 hours a day with singing and praising and preaching. This resplendent glory is the same glory which will illuminate heaven, where there will be no need for stars by night nor sun to shine by day. For the resplendent glory of God will be all the illumination that we're going to need in our eternal home. This is the glory that landed that night on those shepherds. Shepherds of all people. Shepherds of all people. And yet, in the midst of all of this glory, in the midst of the light that should be shining in and on those of us in 21st century who have encountered this light, this resplendent glory, that has manifested itself holiness, His perfection, His love, this light that should have changed us, so many of us struggle with keeping that light burning. We struggle with keeping that flame fanned so that we can be this light in our world. And this resplendent glory that came to Sinai and in the tabernacle and in the temple and that will illuminate heaven someday is also the resplendent glory that Ezekiel tells us departed from the people and the threshold of the temple. The light shines, and it shines in you. If you have made a conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, then that light shines in you. Jesus called Himself the light of the world. And Jesus says that that light can't be put out, but we can sure make it dim. But I want to assure you this morning that the light does not need to burn dim inside of you. Instead, it needs to burn bright inside of you. There are two things I want you to leave here with this morning. The first is this: God illuminated the night with resplendent glory to announce His peace to you. The shepherds came. It came to the shepherds. That's significant in telling us the importance of this light. The shepherds were the lowliest of low in society. They were the dirty joke tellers. They were the sexually impure. They were the spiritually unclean. They were the ones who worked on the Sabbath and could not practice religious activities in the temple. They were the outcasts, the marginalized, the dregs of society in Jerusalem and in Bethlehem and in the nation of Israel at the time. They were lowlifes. And yet when the resplendent glory of God decided to come, it came to the shepherds first. And it came with a message. The message is, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you to have peace. I'm coming for you to have hope. I'm coming for you to make sure that you understand that the light should shine in your life, even though you may be imperfect, even though you may feel marginalized, even though you carry the weight and burden of your own sin, even though you're not perfect, I have come for you. I've also come for all people everywhere. He makes that statement too. But the angel stands before them, and the glory of the Lord shones around them, and they were terribly afraid. Well, let's stop and think about that for a minute. You would be afraid too. So here you are, out there doing your shepherd thing, minding your own business. Boom! All of a sudden, somebody turns on all of the lights in the universe. You would be afraid too. Have you ever gone to bed during a storm or something when the electricity's been knocked out? And so you can't watch TV, and you can't listen to the radio, and you can't surf the internet, you can't do Netflix because there is no power, and so the only thing you can do is go to bed. So you go to bed, and finally the power company gets the power restored in your home, and boom, all of the lights come on because you forgot to turn anything off when you went to bed. Magnify that time a gazillion, and that's what these guys are going through. So there's this moment where there's all this light all of a sudden, and they were terrified. That's understandable. But I think they were terrified for a second reason, and that is that illuminating or coming out of this radiant light was this angel character. And the angel has a message. I'm here for you. First of all, they'd probably never seen one. And they're like, dude, what is that? What's going on? They were encountering this new being, this alien, if you will. And not long after the angel finishes making his case, all of a sudden, boom, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. The word host translates army. Our Christmas cards have it wrong. Our Christmas songs sometimes have it wrong. Because the Christmas cards and the Christmas songs come in and they say there was this heavenly choir that came in. It was not a heavenly choir. It was an heavenly army. How awesome, how ominous could that possibly be? But I think there's a fourth reason why they were afraid. And I think it has to do with the nature of their own personal character. History and archaeology tells us that shepherds were kind of proud and rebellious people. They were proud of being the outcasts, kind of. At the same time, they were also ashamed of that because they wanted to practice their faith on some level, but they were forbidden. But I think one of the reasons that the angels or that the shepherds were afraid is maybe one of the reasons or some of the reasons that you and I are afraid of encountering God fully. And that is because when you and I are confronted with the resplendent glory of God, you and I become keenly aware of every sin and every failure and every shortcoming in our life. You see, there's an awareness that's needed for you and I to have this peace that He offers. And when you and I are compared to the resplendent glory of God, we come up very dark and very dim, and very outcast. These are the reasons we feel inadequate, or it feels silly to spend all that time in silence in church trying to pray, because we're not really sure what to do should we encounter the holiness of God. It's the reason we don't turn to our Bible or turn to other types of spiritual instruction Monday through Saturday when we're struggling in our life. We are afraid to encounter the resplendent glory and holiness of God. It's the reason we can't always sing with exuberant joy when we gather in the Lord's presence, because it just doesn't feel sincere and authentic. Because if I got all excited about God and if I got all excited about His glory and His Jesus, I might have to change my life. It is the reason we surround ourselves with friends who enable us and our inconsistencies and our inadequacies. Instead of surrounding ourselves with good, wise, biblical counsel and friends who will speak truth, though painful they may be, into our life. Because when we find ourselves in the presence of holiness, when confronted with holy truths, we become keenly aware of our own shortcomings and inadequacies. There's a story in the New Testament about how this resplendent glory came to a guy named Saul. Saul was a Christian murderer. It was his job title, basically. And he had asked for permission to go to a certain town and to gather up Christians and have them slaughtered. And in Acts chapter 9, we find that he is making this journey. And while he's on this journey, as he approaches Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven shone down on him. It was this resplendent glory of God. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So here's this murderer. All of a sudden, he is confronted with this resplendent glory, and he responds just like the shepherds do. The Bible tells us that the shepherds went, and they found this child, and they went, and they told the story of this child. And Saul went, and he found himself in the town. You skip on down further in verse 11 of Acts chapter 9. The Lord talks to this guy named Ananias, and he says, "Hey, I want you to go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas, and when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now." God illuminated the night with His resplendent glory to announce His peace to you. The shepherds ran to it. Saul ran to it. You should run to it. His resplendent glory is not there to push you away, but His resplendent glory is there to draw you in. It is sumptuous. It is brilliantly colorful. It is wonderful. It's not there to push you away. It's there to draw you towards Him. It's there to draw you towards Him. God illuminated the night with His resplendent glory to announce peace to you. The Scripture says, cease striving and know that I am God. Peace to you. But secondly, you need to hear this morning that God illuminated the night with His resplendent glory to announce that He is pleased with you. Now, some of you are sitting here this morning going, You don't know what I've done last night. You don't know what I've done this week. You don't know how I've been. You don't know what my eyes have seen. You don't know where my internet searches have taken me. You don't know what I've put in my body. You don't know what I've done to other people's bodies. You don't know the hatred in my heart. You don't know the attitudes that I don't. But I do know all of those things about me, and I do know that God knows all of those things about you. And He says, I've come that you can have peace, but I've also come so that you can know that I am pleased with you. You are my workmanship. You are my creation. You are my handiwork. I know how many hairs you have on your head. I really do see you when you're waking and know if you're asleep. The writer of the Old Testament says, he who watches over his people does not slumber or sleep, but he sees you when you do. He knows if you're awake. He knows that it's easier for you to be bad than it is for you to be good. But His encouragement to you is still, be good for goodness sake. Why? Because I am pleased with you. Psalm 149 verse 4 says, for the Lord takes delight in His people, and He crowns the humble with salvation. If you have made a conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, then you are one of His people, and He is pleased with you. Zephaniah goes on to say it even further. He says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Save what? Save from yourself. Save from your sin. Save from all of the things that would keep you away from God. So He is mighty to save, and He will take great delight in you. I want you to raise your hand and repeat after me. The Lord delights in me. Say it. The Lord delights in me. Now I want you to say it like you mean it. The Lord delights in me. This is what it is to act and to live by faith. But I don't feel like that, Pastor Kevin. I don't care what you feel like. I care about what the book says, and I care about the truth that the book speaks over your life. The Lord delights in you. And it goes on to say that He will quiet you with His love. What are your guts turned upside down about today? Have you not represented Jesus well in your own home? Men, have you not been leading your family well? Wives, have you not been respecting your husband? Children, have you been dishonoring to your parents? What's got your gut in an uproar this morning? Zephaniah says, He will quiet you. He will quiet you with His love. The illuminating presence of God is not there to drive you away. It is there to draw you in. He will quiet you with His love. And then He finishes it by saying this. He rejoices over you with singing. With singing. Remember when there were little kids in the house? I mean little kids. They were teething or they had some kind of upset tummy. And you couldn't get them to calm down. You'd pick them up and you'd caress them and you'd pat them and you'd pass them around and try anybody or any position or any family member just to see if you could bring comfort to the child. And finally, when there was a moment of rest or a moment of peace, you would take them in and you would try to lay them gently in their bed. You would pat them on the back and you would sing over them, hush, little baby, don't say a word. He sent his resplendent glory to speak peace into your life. But he sent his resplendent glory to tell you that I am pleased with you. Verse 14 tells us about the appearing of the angel. It says, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among mankind with whom he is pleased. John chapter 1, verse 3, God created everything through him, that's you. Nothing was created except through him, that's you. The Word gave life to everything that was created, that's you. And his life brought light to everyone, that's you. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God illuminated the night with his resplendent glory to announce that he is pleased with you. The Scripture declares that you are his saint. Raise your hand, repeat after me. I am a saint. Ready? I am a saint. You know what that means? The word translated there is holy. You are holy. You are not trying to become a saint. Cease your striving and know that I'm God. You are not trying to become a saint. You are a saint. If you have made a choice to believe in Christ who came at Christmas time, who died on the cross, who spilled his blood, who rose again on the third day, if you have decided to place your life and your faith and your trust in him, you are a saint. You don't have to try to become one. He's made you one by imputing upon you his holiness, his righteousness. You are a saint. Romans chapter 1 says, to all in your town who love God and who are called to be saints, grace and peace to you. Ephesians chapter 2. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are saints yourselves. Your position is that of a saint. You are not trying to become one. And the resplendent glory of God is not there to push you away, but it is there to draw you in. It drew the shepherds, and they lived in obedience. It drew a man named Saul, and he lived in obedience. Today, I believe that it is drawing you, and you need to choose this day in this time to live in obedience. So what does that mean? That means that you make the conscious decision to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about committing yourself, your life to Christ. I want you to stand and I want you to sing. And as we do that, I want you to contemplate your reaction to the resplendent glory of God. Let it draw you to him this morning, not pull you away.